earlier this week, we were on a TikTok Live. If you haven't seen the clip, if you haven't seen what's going on, we were on a TikTok Live being asked to comment on the Quiet on Set documentary, which we hadn't seen. And super shit joke came out that was referenced at Daniel and looked like I was talking about Drake, and it all overlaps. And we fucked up. I get it. We hadn't seen the doc, and everyone was asking us for our opinions on it.
On the TikTok.
Yeah. And I get it. Now, having seen the documentary, it's so disturbing. I get they were asking us.
And we had no clue of the magnitude of what they were discussing. We're also multitasking. I'm sitting there editing the sound. I thought we had lost all of the footage.
Now we've watched it, and I get it. If I had just watched especially that third episode and then watched us joking like that,
you would be upset.
I would be like, are they sociopaths? Like, are they, is something wrong with them? Mm-hmm.
So with that, get it clear. You guys were not speaking on that. You weren't talking about.
No, we hadn't watched. I didn't know that. Didn't know. Wasn't sitting with the details at all. Like, I know what the joke sounds like, but I was talking to Daniel.
You were talking
that we fucking do
to me while I was working. You know, people are like, Daniel, you're off camera. What was going on? I'm sitting there at the desk working on audio, super multitasking.
Yeah.
And that statement was directed to me in the extreme way that we disparage each other.
Yeah.
My constituents were just completely upset, and they wanted clear that we were not referring to that.
We fucked up.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I get what it looks like. I get it. It's overlapping each other in the fucking
horrible
worst
timing.
Way. So
horrible timing.
We can get into that more. Everyone was asking for our take on Quiet on Set. Mm-hmm. And so I want us to do that now that we've watched it.
Yeah.
And I also want to say, on every live stream I've ever been on, previous to Quiet on Set even being a thing, there's always been a high amount of comments in every single live stream I've ever been on of people asking me to comment on Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
And I never have, because
we didn't work with him.
This is what people were asking for on the live, and we did not have the capacity to do it.
Right.
We've been screwed over by the business in ways, but what was revealed in that docuseries, this is an urgent matter. Something needs to happen.
Like, it affects them for the rest of your life. When Kyle Sullivan from All That, it was in the trailer too, but when he said it made him trust the world less, I get why, and that's just devastating. His experience pursuing his childhood dream because of the adults and the adult environment that was created, he trusts the world less.
And it's stuff like money. We've talked about the money woes associated with it.
Yep.
But it's like, geez, it's even a luxury to have that to complain about when there are these really, really awful things that money cannot even bring back.
Yeah.
It's crushing.
And you remember the pressure of just trying to be everything, all of it to the nth degree. Like, you're so not going to have to worry about me. I'll actually
give you everything. You need me to stay a little later?
Exactly.
Got you.
Yeah. Anything is sort of just
I'm sick, I'll push
through. Thank God I'm here. Thank you for letting me be here.
Yeah.
And let me make you proud.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's where it really sucks, because your self-worth is so tied into pleasing these adults.
Yeah.
Maintaining adult humor at such a young age. You're talking about these things you barely even understand, but you just want them to say, great job.
Yeah. But we experienced it still in a safe enough environment.
Yeah.
And it wasn't scary to talk to Scott. It wasn't, we had the normal pressure that a kid actor has, but knowing that this is what our fucking people were going through on other sets is fucked. So let's go through kind of some of the big things in the episode. So the first episode starts kind of laying, we can kind of talk about episode 1 and 4, is like they lay the groundwork for some of the toxic environment on Dan Schneider shows. And there's kind of a lot in there. The female writers on the Amanda Show stuff really...
That was messed up. They split a paycheck? Like, why would you choose to single out people and say, you guys are deserving of this lesser treatment?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the
and
the,
them having that same thing that the kids have of like, this is my dream. I have to do everything to make this work.
That's what's so fucked is it's so hard to succeed in this industry on every level. That when you get opportunities, it's huge. You have to make it work.
Yep.
It's you have to climb your way into momentum in this industry or hit some big luck. And for someone to be at best unaware, at worst, taking advantage of that fucking dynamic, you know, in any job, there's hierarchy and there's a power dynamic.
Yeah.
If a boss creates a space where you don't feel comfortable voicing how you feel or that, hey, you crossed a line there, could we not? You're going to go along with things that don't make you comfortable. When that female writer was like, can we not even talk about the sodomy?
Yeah, that was horrible. Dear. That was horrible.
This is 25 years later. And she's like, can we not talk about that? There's probably so much shame in her still because of that.
Because
she was peer pressure coerced.
Yeah.
And it's so gross, man.
Where's your mind at to where that's what you want to be doing in the writer's room of a kid's show?
Thank you. Dude, thank you. Yes. What the fuck, dude? All the sexual jokes that they go over, I was watching that, like...
It's ridiculous.
Why? So I saw Dan Schneider sort of justified that with, like, that went through layers of the network, like, approval. You know, scripts do. They go through layers. And he kind of said, if they told me to cut it, I would have cut it. My thing is, like, why is this even why is it even there?
In the first place.
Why are you writing sexual innuendo jokes? You know exactly what it is. You know exactly what the joke is.
Exactly. That's like
why is it in a kid show?
The
taint. Penelope taint.
Penelope taint. And this is something that's burned into my own memory. I remember those scenes.
Yeah.
And I remember that name. And also, like, who would think that it's not? Like the layers should have prevented something like that.
Yes.
And I think they tried to check him once, they mentioned.
Right, and he explained it away as like, oh, it's the painted. Other, it's the second definition in Oxford. Like,
why
what?
Would why have you it? Say, okay, this is confusing, let's remove it.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you had sinister intentions.
Or,
go ahead.
Or don't care. Like, not necessarily sinister intentions, like it, even the industrial like ambivalence, like they don't care.
No, I hear you.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, go for it. Like, make our show, you know?
Power. Like, you didn't sit there and say, well, then let's change it since it is wrong.
Right.
Kids are still going to consume this stuff.
Yeah. Why don't
fix it?
Why don't we not even overlap with that at all? Like, that's the boundary you have on children's television. Like, there's no need for fucking sexual innuendo.
Yeah, unless you're just terrible at writing. And if you are terrible at writing comedy, then go somewhere else.
Or if your comedy is perverse, and if it is perverse, that's okay in an adult
world.
But
go to an adult
family. Yeah, man. Yeah. Like the Ariana Grande, like, potato
thing.
No, that's
not tight, bro. Her pouring the water.
Dude.
It's clearly there was an adult with a bad intention and mind.
A sick mind. Yeah, it's sick. It's gross.
Yeah.
There was like clips of like shake weight stuff. Like, why is this on children's television?
Find some other
and a ton of like phallic shit that's like just clearly overlapping with adult themes. Like, don't even overlap that at all. Yeah, it's just gross, man. It's just fucking gross.
Also, just then how he tried to like follow her to, I had no idea Dan Schneider was part of What a Girl Wants something like
the CW show, like What I Like About
What
You.
What I Like About You.
I didn't know that.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. He tried to glom onto her and then continue to curate her image long after she's past the age of a Disney or a Nickelodeon person. Like, what other creator is like, hey, I'm going to follow networks with you?
Yeah.
You know?
And really just thinking of a child like a product.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Even him, even hearing like how normal it was that people, like the environment was tense and scary when he was on set because he would yell regularly and people got used to that. Also, even the early on the early All That seasons that they were covering, that he would kind of notably pick favorites and it would be known to children. Children are forming their entire fucking self-worth when they're in environments like this. And to be a fucking adult, letting it kind of be known, these are my favorites and you're not, it's so fucking egomaniacal, man. It's so not, you're not thinking of children. You're not aware. And how are you the biggest fucking showrunner for children's TV?
I don't know how they allowed him to be the premier guy at that network.
Yeah.
Through all of this scandal and all of these hiccups.
Like, and knowing who Scott Fellows is and like, I know he's not, you know, I feel like Dan Schneider is the, you know, the odd one out. I feel like you could have found so many more people like Scott and whatever. Like, I don't know why this one dark cloud.
It's so hard for us to describe for you listeners at home, like who Scott Fellows is, our show creator, and the environment that he created on our set from the top down. We've talked about it a ton on our pod before. It's so hard for me to describe that was the experience we had and that what you saw in Quiet on Set is the experience like so many of our peers had because they're night and day different. Yeah, before we fully go into the Drake thing, let's also talk about, before the documentary gets into Drake, a PA named Jason Handy.
9-year-old.
Yeah, who had like 500 photos of child pornography.
That's disgusting, bro.
And this dude was a PA on these sets. Like,
active. Giovanni. I had dinner with Giovanni recently. She was telling me, well, she ends up bringing out her book showing her, like, you know, like they were.
Yeah, his note, that guy's note to her was like, you guys are the reason I work for free
half the week.
It's so fucking disgusting. Like, oh my God, dude. It's, again, I just want to say, I get, based on what people saw from our live, I get why they were so upset thinking we were joking about these details. Like, we never would have been fucking around like that had we dropped into watching this, dude. I watched it later that night and was like, oh my God, no, dude.
Yeah, when I watched it, I was catalyzed to want to do so much more, and I get why people would have been, and they were likely on the live to ask after having watched it.
Exactly. And even considering touching like that topic or speaking on it at all now in the mindset we were in is so irresponsible.
It's a fucking mess.
Clarify again, you were not talking about that.
Meanwhile, our audience is just watching this going like, hey guys,
give us answers. Give us
something. Yeah, give us something. Hold space with us.
Yeah, like holy shit. Because I mean, I get it, guys at home. We're all fucking disturbed by this. This is such a huge hit. Even though we had a good experience, this is such a huge hit.
Oh,
to
God,
like all of our childhood dreams. Like this is so dark. It's such a hit to our generation, to Nickelodeon, to fucking the fun that's shown, the Kids' Choice Award, like the dream of being a fucking kid actor and what we all assume comes with that. The, whoa, that must be the best. Hope. That must be the best life. Like this documentary is showing us what some of our peers have been blowing whistles on for a while. Yeah. People have to protect kid actors better, dude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bet they have to start doing it at all, because right now there were no protections in place. It just seems like nothing was there. There's no reason this should happen.
This fucking guy with the child pornography only got 6 years?
What is that about?
6 years? When his diary says, I'm a pedophile thinking about raping a child. That was in his diary. And you give that man 6 years? I don't understand how the
system works at all. Like, take criminals off the streets, lock him up, throw away the key forever.
For shit like this, like convicted child molestation, convicted child predators. How do you let them back in the world?
No, you can. You cannot. There's no way to recuperate from that in my book. And the fact that there are still lawmakers out there who, seeing he's about to be released, didn't make a new law to say, throw his ass back in there.
Yeah. And like Brandy's mom, like that guy sent a naked photo to her nine-year-old daughter, dude. And she was a mom that was aware enough. Like,
but she said she didn't want to call, though, didn't she?
She said she didn't want to call the police. She felt like she couldn't.
Brian Christopher Hearn, all that character, they interviewed his mom in that first episode.
No, she did.
And you could tell she was a real one. Yeah, you could tell she had those eyes that my fucking mom has. Mm-hmm. You could tell she was out there looking out for her kid's best interest. Yeah. And that this experience drove a wedge between her son and her when she was
so messed up.
Because it sounds like they basically didn't invite him back
because
for his third season because she was a real parent making sure her son was protected.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, we don't want any people who will speak up around.
And then, of course, as a kid,
that dynamic is
so messed
up. It broke
my heart that she said, like, he changed and didn't trust her anymore. You get it from his perspective. He feels like, oh, you just crushed my dream because you were too much of a mom.
And we were
Meanwhile, look at what was in their fucking environment. His mom was so right.
She was a real mama. She was a real person.
But to think about the trajectory of their relationship and how that is a defining moment in their relationship, whether they've gotten past it or not. I mean,
it's awful.
That's just devastating.
That environment was even created. I really hate it.
But when children are the main focus of this show, network, whatever it happens to be, the fact that there are these sinister adults doing sinister things, it looks like in Dan Snyder's case, to each other, and then that trickles down to the kids.
It's dirty on the inside.
The amount of stories we have since doing this podcast from co-stars on Ned's having a story of Scott Fellows coming and treating them like a human when they were feeling the pressure of the adult side of being needing to be good, but they're a kid, and Scott treating them like a kid and either firing the person or making them feel seen for just being a kid. Like, that's how you have to. Kids are fragile, dude. Their entire identity is forming at these times. And to fucking make them feel this pressure of pleasing you and not stepping on toes and like, fuck that, dude. So Dan gets covered, not fully as a predator, but just as a
fucked up
boss and a weirdo.
I don't want to be like I'm trying to lead a witch hunt. That's what I don't want.
Yeah.
But the fact that so much of this happened on his watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There needs to be repercussions. So that this and I think people are catalyzed right now.
I think so.
To make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the Brian Peck and Drake episode.
Someone that close to you preying on you, driving a wedge between you and your father. Oh, that's predatory on such a deeper level, because you're molding this kid's view of the world, their relation to their craft.
Yeah.
And you're taking that from them.
Yeah.
You're taking it from them, bastard.
That all this happened before Drake and Josh, before Drake's Drake and Josh was the biggest show on Nickelodeon.
Biggest.
And it ran for, I think they did 5 seasons. Like, this was a huge thing. That all this happened before that Drake was carrying this that whole time. Oh my God.
It's just, it's unfathomable.
And bringing joy to so many people mm-hmm. through all of that.
Yep.
Inspiring. Like, I mean, these are some, like, you know, they weren't the oldest. Like, I was a Keenan fan. Like, heroes, though, champions of the field.
Yeah.
We all wanted to achieve something of that magnitude.
Yeah.
And to know that he was going through all of that is just, I don't even know how to express
yeah
the hurt That's wild.
Gosh, I can't even pass that place.
We were this close. We would have been at Nick on Sunset. We shot the pilot there.
The pilot of Ned's, we filmed at Nick on Sunset, where all the Dan Schneider shows filmed. In the winter of 2003. And Brian Peck was Stephen Markarian, who played your original character. Mm-hmm. He was his stand-in on our pilot.
He was his stand-in.
He was on our set.
He was right there with you guys.
Yeah.
This close, man.
Yeah. And I remember seeing, however many months later, my mom reading a newspaper, and I saw his face, and it said, child acting coach convicted of child molestation. And I remember pointing it out to my mom going, Mom, he was on the fucking pilot. Like, that's how close we were, but then we steered into this other experience. Yeah. Some details from that fucking episode. The John Wayne Gacy thing with Brian Peck is insane.
What?
That's insane.
And he sat there and tried to explain it away.
This convicted child molester who was on all these sets before being convicted, he had a self-portrait and a pen palship with a serial killer.
Of young boys.
A serial rapist and killer of young boys. And this man is on child sets. Like, I can't even fathom this, dude.
Dog.
That's insane.
And also, not only having that, but being not, so willing and excited not knowing, to display
not
it.
Not knowing it's a secret. Like what?
What type of environment allows you to think that you can continue in your post and position with these obscure interests?
Yep.
The fact that no one else had checked him. I know someone else has been to this man's house, you know.
Dude.
Someone else has been around him long enough to go, yo, his food don't need to be around kids.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm to the point, to be honest with you, this is a hard stance. I don't know, guys, if this is a hard stance. Children almost should not be allowed to be on television. Mm. I'm sorry, dog. You gotta cut it off.
Yeah.
Yep.
You gotta cut it off. It has to stop. It's a humanitarian issue.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, these weirdos are gravitating to that.
Yeah.
It's not tight. The same way we have these protections around schools, like you can't be within a certain rate. Like,
I totally get the thing with kids not being on TV. I think there can't be as much leeway as there is with adult television and as much of it as, like, kids programming, I think, needs to be way condensed or, like, something.
It's got to be teaching happening. If you're talking about pedagogy and you want to teach kids with an adult standing there being a teacher to them. I don't know anymore if it's okay to have children, young people, working with adults that closely and so often, because it sounds like our experience with Scott Fellows was an anomaly.
Right.
And if this is the norm, you got to shut the system down.
Yep.
I hate to be that guy to say it. Mm-hmm. And I know there are organizations out here trying to work against this. Like, the Looking Ahead Project is out there. I think Corbin's running that, and Ashley Argota. But I don't know if that is enough.
Yeah.
It almost got to go away. You almost got to throw it out.
There are child labor laws. A welfare worker, there are welfare workers on set. There is a rule that parents must be in sight of their children at all times. There are these laws, but this is still fucking happening. It's not enough.
And it's not, no.
Here's the thing. It's happening from both ends. Like, these parent, like, really though, what is going on with the parents and where they're at? Because I almost feel like when a kid is cast, their parent gets cast too, you know? And it's like this whole,
Pick the right parent, especially for these predatory people.
Parents are almost doing their own kind of performance and wanting to fit in and all of this bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't even seem to be the case, you know, with Drake.
Drake's dad was looking out for him.
And that wedge was driven.
That broke my fucking heart, man. Yeah. His dad did see it, but your brain doesn't let you go to the worst and place that seems unfathomable.
Mm-hmm. When his dad finally said, or when Drake mustered up the strength to call him and told him that, hey, did you hear they got this guy? And he said, oh my God, I'm glad he never got to you. That broke my heart, man.
Same, dude.
I think about my dad, man. It's fucked up, bro. It's
fucked up, man. Fucked
you want to do everything for your kids. I don't know his story about where he moved from. We moved far the fuck away from Mississippi.
Yeah.
You will do anything to have been successful. My dad had to give up his own, you know, life, brother's family, good, you know, solid job, trying to be better and establish something for his family. There's so many times that he would sit me down and say, hey, if this ever happens to you, you know I'm here. I'm always going to be there one step away. I'm right here, right here, right here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about if I ever did want to get away from my dad to try and pursue some greater position.
Yeah.
And I let those people get to me, what could have happened to me? But that bond, man, breaking somebody's bond with their father is fucked up, man.
It's fucked up. And a dad who's there are stage parents. There are parents out there who aren't looking out for their kid. Jeanette wrote a whole fucking book about it, all right? Yeah. There are parents that are not right. Drake's dad was looking out for him.
Reminds me of Pops.
That I know, dude. And that wedge got drawn and you get it. Like, I get it. It got into Drake's head of like, I need to, my dad's the problem. And then you get his father, even though he was suspicious of Brian Peck, you get him going like, but I don't want to cause a bigger problem that fucks up my son's trajectory.
He was trying to do the right thing and say, hey, my father has told me at times, I'm going to step away from your career because I know you could go way further than if I'm there. You know, people going to think I'm the bad guy and I don't want to infringe on that. And that's what happened. And then the predators took advantage of that.
The fucking guilt that his dad must have had when he found out, that he still has. You see it when they ask him, like, he's like, I'm still not the same. The guilt for him having been suspicious and then not drawn it for reasons that was still him being a good dad, unfortunately. Like, the reasons he didn't fully step in was he was still trying to let his son have his dreams.
That's why I'm like, we kind of got to throw it away. We kind of got to throw it away. There's no.
Yeah.
If indeed ours is an anomaly, and it sounds like it is, I don't think it's okay to keep allowing kids to reach this type of stardom. You know, even with social media happening now, at least maybe the parents can be there. I know it has its own issues, but it's disgusting, man.
Yeah. Drake's girlfriend's mom is one of those people in this story where I go,
he's calling all the fucking time.
She saw it. He said she saw within 6 seconds, as soon as she saw him interact with Brian Peck, like, no, and hey, bud, come talk to me.
Yeah,
come talk to me in the kitchen.
I'm not going to let you just go home.
Uh-uh. Come talk to me, and tomorrow I'm going to take you to someone. You might not feel safe talking to me. You're going to talk to this person. Like, I'm like, thank God there's some people in this fucking story who like were there for the children. That's not her kid.
No.
That's a kid.
Yeah.
I mean about being the village, man. We are all responsible for the babies. And like, that's how we raise the world, raise the vibe, raise everything. Like,
the investigation, the court case, all of this, that Drake was carrying this is crazy. He came to our pilot rap party. And I remember him kind of big broing me, like, in a cool way, like putting me under his shoulder and like, welcome to the network and stuff. This was at that time. Like, I don't know how to process like most of this. Like, I have to say, when I saw our little fucking TikTok clip and that Drake had retweeted it, I was just watching his interview. And someone sent me that he had retweeted it, and then I saw the clip, and like, yeah. I just, I, I, it's, I, put out a fucking apology immediately. I felt like a piece of shit. Like, I know it looks like I'm laughing at this, and I fucking wasn't, but I know what it looks like, and that Drake saw it. I just felt so fucking awful. Knowing Drake saw that in that context and us, him going through this investigation and then a court case where Brian Peck had a room full of people backing his character, 41 letters backing his character, advising the judge for probation that the guy feels guilt. And I would guess most of the people writing those letters weren't given the details.
They were
coerced as well. I'm sure they were told, because this is a case involving a minor, they're not going to be given the real details. I'm sure it was super downplayed. But that 41 people backed this man to a judge, and that this man got 18 months in prison and then was back on Sweet Life of Zach and Cody 2 years later is unfucking fathomable, dude. And for Drake to see that.
It's infuriating.
Drake was on Drake and Josh when this dude got out and was then back on a children's network.
He had to have fully lost his sense that there is some good in the world.
Exactly.
Like, imagine how psychologically traumatizing that has got to be. This person did these awful things to you. You finally mustered up the courage to talk about it, get something done about it, and then the system that you thought was going to fix it slaps you in the face, puts them back on the streets. And then this same industry that maybe you were, hey, you know, we got that bad egg out of the bunch. Same industry comes and hires him
on a kids network.
On a kids network, another huge show. Like there's no telling. The reason I'm taking such a hard line on getting rid of this maybe kids children's programming is because this is one incident, and we're just now hearing about it. Imagine what else has gone on.
Yeah, and it took Drake fucking 20 years.
20 years.
To really say it. And it took a lot of our peers. Some of them have been speaking for a long time. Some, it took a long time for them to address it in the ways that they did. Yeah. What about all the stories that aren't fucking getting told, or the people who didn't get convicted, all the fucking people who just kind of tucked it in and internalized it?
Not to mention the people who don't even get famous, bro.
Right.
All the people that are chasing this dream, like we need a reset and a paradigm shift. People chasing this dream, these sleazy managers and people saying, oh, I can do this for your child. Oh, you're working? Let me do this. I can
It doesn't work. Why do we want to hear from a kid like an adult? Like all of those interviews, all of the of the questions, of the whatever, like there's too much at some point, whether it just be the work, then not any of the press, like something's got to cut down. Yeah. They're not a celebrity like an adult is and should not be treated as such.
Yeah. Cause like we talked about, like even without the worst of it coming to you, it's a process. Becoming an adult identity after child acting, because you were asked to wear this adult mask as a kid and give interviews and have press training, it takes a long time to unlearn. I am performing for others and pretending to be older than I am.
But it's also wild, like even with the people who were on our show or the people we brought in, they have let us in on some stories where we're like, whoa, we were right there. I didn't know that.
Exactly.
And now there's this broader distance where we were like, we couldn't have imagined that you were dealing with these issues, and it was due to this industry that we were all in and we thought was giving people some semblance of joy and fulfillment.
Joy and a dream. Yeah. And like we were all around each other smiling. Reading Jeanette's book a couple years back broke me, knowing like we are all at these events smiling and being happy kids. And she was carrying like so much. It's just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what the world is. And man, I really was protected.
Yeah.
I don't even know what laws could be put in place.
Yeah.
Because like you're saying, there are laws out there, mm-hmm. but they're clearly not being followed.
Not if there's an environment, which happens a lot in any hierarchy, not just in the film industry, not if there's an environment with a boss mm-hmm, who's top. Not looking out for people. If there's a boss who's only in their own fucking power trip and is okay making others uncomfortable to flex their fucking power and yelling at people, that was a normal thing.
Sneaking
like
sneaking up on people, scaring them.
The massages, asking an employee to massage you. Nope. Nope. Already, guys, listeners at home, there's already a child welfare worker who must be on set. However, plenty of them are disempowered to be an active, like Scott Plimpton, our set tutor, was our child welfare worker. And he would step up when they were asking us to stay overtime. If they did that a couple days in a row, like if it happens once, he would come and be like, I don't care,
guys.
But
it's going to cost this much to keep going.
I don't care. This is my job. He was a real one. He took his job seriously. Yep. Plenty of set welfare workers are there just fucking sitting around. Like if they're on set, they must be trained and empowered to be fucking hawks, man.
And probably need to be a tandem team, somebody else to check on them.
You're halting a huge, halting the Titanic. So
you're halting a huge momentum, money, mm-hmm. massive machine.
And you don't want those repercussions.
You have to be brave. You have to be steadfast in your fucking integrity.
But you have to know the system's going to back you up.
You have to know that
at a certain level, like you're going to be backed up.
And you have to know that it doesn't matter. Those kids that you're in charge of must be protected. Yeah. And that's what Scott Plimpton was for
That's
us.
It.
Like, oh, fuck, man.
I don't know if it's some kind of training that you have to go through to be a part of kids' television. I don't know if it's... I don't even know.
I know. How do you fix it?
You might got to throw it
that's
away.
That's why I know.
Why do we need it
But
in
then,
our society?
You guys, what...
It hadn't always existed.
But what inspired us to be actors?
Being brainwashed as kids, seeing it on TV. Sorry, throwing it out there.
I wasn't brainwashed. What inspired me to be an actor
You don't feel like it. You don't feel like you were brainwashed. Seeing stuff, TV didn't exist at one point. You were at least conditioned to desire to be on television. If you had not been in front of a television, you never would have thought you wanted to be on it. You might have wanted theater.
Well, sure. Yeah, but TV exists. So
it does.
So
and performances always exist.
That's what I'm saying. I think a lot of us who ended up in it, except for the ones whose parents literally forced them into it, for a lot of us, it came out of this. Even Drake said, like, my dream was always to perform. Like, I loved all this shit. Like, that's where it comes from. And if you have a good parent, they try and help you achieve that dream, you know? And what's so fucked is what you said, which is like, it sounds like our experience is somewhat of an anomaly.
Without being protected, I mean, yeah, it's you'll get ripped apart. And right. And this industry, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, like even the kids who spoke about like leaving all that, not without this awful shit happening to them, but just with their self-worth being destroyed.
And having this have to be what they work out for the rest of their life.
Yeah,
that fucking... breaks you. I mean, and we did get to talk like with Jennifer Ted Mori on our show about like when she wasn't invited back for third season, it was a lot to process. And I'm 99% positive that wasn't for anything personal.
No.
It sounds like the Dan ones were personal. It was like no more to that kid. Mm-hmm. Jennifer's character kind of just got
There was just a bunch of other characters other that characters they started in, to write so then there's in the only, third season.
Right, so it really wasn't personal, but as a kid, you internalize it. You go, what's wrong with me?
Right.
I'm like, oh my God. I'm sure if Scott knew she felt that
oh
way,
my
like, he would have told her, hey, no, it's 100%. Not about that.
Scott was really good like that. He would take characters who had auditioned for a role and not gotten in or something. And I think he brought everybody back who had tested for Moe's Ned and Cookie at some point and put them in the show.
Exactly. When he was replaced.
Exactly.
Like, he had a care.
Considering the children.
Yep.
Yeah.
He had a care for the fact that this is children's television.
Yep.
So This fucking TikTok live, man, I fully understand now.
Made a vulgar joke.
Yeah.
At a time that was not.
Not it.
Not right.
Not it. It was not it.
You were insulting me.
Yeah.
It is a close relationship, familial, mutual understanding that can develop within social groups where people understand each other's personality, personal boundaries, and senses of humor.
Yeah.
We've been doing this since we were kids.
Yeah.
Now back to talking about the innocence, you know, we have, because our growing up, we were allowed to be innocent in the entertainment environment. We still carry that when we are trying to be entertaining.
Exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we can banter about things that sometimes are way off.
Like, bad taste, off color, inappropriate.
People were asking me, why are you letting them say something like that to you? And it was more about that. And it's like, dang, we've been doing that for the longest. We exchange things, just extremes. It's the idea of extremes.
Yeah.
But I did do some reflection and I had to think, why am I so privileged as to be able to joke
like that
in those ways?
Yep.
I mean, I feel like probably for the audience and for us, like there's a before watching this documentary
and then there's an after.
No.
We were in the before while the audience was in the after. And that joke was fucked up
in that context.
Now, like, dude, I'm like, fuck.
But you were not. Let's once again, I got to iterate because all my constituents and people have been asking me, was he talking about Drake? That? No, he was not. But I can't tell them specifically.
No, like Daniel, it's not in the clip. Daniel made.
Yeah, I said, I'm releasing
Daniel made a comment that I was responding to.
I was like, speak for yourself.
Yeah. And I was.
Because you said we had a good upbringing on Ned's or something like that. And you weren't.
Yeah. And and I was directing that terrible comment at Daniel.
It was just so dumb.
We're fucking idiots.
We're supposed to be adults, and we talk to each other like that. And it would have been a candid moment. We're multitasking. Like I say, I'm off camera because I'm over there working on the computer.
I want to put a suffix on the insensitivity in that we decided to talk about something that we knew nothing about in a mood that. We, you know what I mean?
And not talk about, it was just you guys responding.
Exactly, responding. But that's what I mean. The insensitivity of
just
like.
Yeah, that we were even willing to engage entertain, those questions.
Without having
in a place of such fucking ignorance.
Right.
To come out with this, and to come out with this so publicly.
It takes a lot.
I think it takes a fucking ton. I think it's incredibly brave. This documentary wouldn't have as much fucking gravity in the way that I hope it can change things now without him sharing those stories.
I hate that this happened. I hate that, you know, we compounded any trauma around this situation that means so much to each of us. And, you know, I am sorry. I know that even when people, you know, there wasn't an intention or malice behind things people have done for me, I know that it has just helped me when people, you know, meet me where I am and recognize like, hey, that was a gut punch, whether it was intentional or not. And like, gut punches suck, you know, and just not the way it was intended.
If you have not watched Quiet on Set yet,
do go watch it.
Holy shit. This is incredibly heavy. I think even if our little fucking news cycle hadn't happened, I'm like, we would have had to do this pod anyways after watching this documentary. Yeah. Like, it's so impactful and so related to our lives and what we're even doing with this podcast. Like, it's so related that we would have done this anyway. It must be discussed. Thanks for being here. If you listened to this whole thing, if you made it through,
we will see you next week.
Next week.